molecules take 5 to 10 minutes to pass through the torturous path of the self-sterilizing filters. This allows the proprietary media formulation to remove and reduce pathogenic bacteria, cysts, chemicals, herbicides, pesticides, organic solvents, foul tastes, odors, heavy metals, and nitrates. It is so powerful it purifies raw, untreated water from remote lakes, streams, and stagnant ponds.
Get the Advanced Berkey Light Purifier for only $279 by calling New Millennium, 888-803-4438, or order on the web at berkeywater.com.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will give you... Determine what the future will bring, and we need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, and well, for this next hour, they're going to be the views of Dr. Rippey, Dr. James Rippey. Dr. Rippey, are you there?
I'm here, yes, thank you.
Well, thank you so very much for being with us, and certainly you've written a fascinating book about just how to maintain your health. Would you want to just pick the story up there?
Well, my most recent book is called Your Plan for a Balanced Life, and the book starts from a very simple premise. I actually have a partner in this book. It's a large food company called Conagra Foods. You may not know them as Conagra, but you certainly know them by their brands, Healthy Choice, Hunt's Tomatoes, Orville Redenbacher Popcorn, and because of that partnership, we're able to do some things that you couldn't normally do in a book. And one of them was that we conducted a national survey, basically saying to people, what's on your mind when it comes to your health? What really matters to you? And the thing that really came to the top, over 90% of people said that one of the things that they struggled a lot with and that was very important to them was that they felt their lives were wildly out of balance. Surprisingly, even though 90% of people said that, over 90% of people, only 20% said that they were confident that they could get their lives back into balance or that they could achieve more balance in their lives. So we took that as a starting point and we said, okay, well, let's meet people halfway. Let's figure out if we can create a program that will interact with people on their terms and help them achieve what they tell us that they wanted to achieve, which is more balance in their life. And so that's really how we got to thinking about this whole topic. And I wrote the book, Your Plan for a Balanced Life. And then there's a great website that goes with the book. It's called startmakingchoices.com. So that's really how we got into this, because people told us that they were, number one, felt their lives were out of balance, and number two, that they weren't confident that they themselves could get their lives back into balance.
Well, of course, what your point you make out, you know, that certainly we need activity, we need exercise, and that's something that a lot of people don't get enough of. And then you need to eat the right products, you need to eat the right foods. And so I said to you, what foods do you suggest that, first of all, let's talk about the activity part. What should people be doing in the way of exercise?
Well, let me just say, before we get into that, and I will talk about that specifically, we divide balance into three big areas: increased physical activity, proper nutrition, and then this larger catch-all category that we call well-being.
Right.
And so in the area of physical activity, I run a large research laboratory called Rippey Lifestyle Institute, and we've been very actively involved in a wide variety of research projects in various kinds of physical activity. But the thing that we're probably most associated with is walking. And there are national guidelines about physical activity. I was one of the from the Centers for Disease Control, and and I was one of the co-authors of those, and we basically recommended to people that they try to accumulate 30 minutes of moderate intensity physical activity on most, if not all, days. And so the key words there are to accumulate physical activity and make it moderate intensity. You don't have to run a marathon or train for a triathlon. For the vast, vast majority of people, all you need to do is get off the couch and go out and walk 30 minutes, accumulate 30 minutes of walking on most, if not all, days. And so one of the things that we do in your plan for a balanced life is we give people some questions about how active they are, and then if they want to work on their activity, which a lot of people do...
Hold that thought. We'll be right back here.
Yep.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest today is Dr. James Rippey, and he has written a book called Your Plan for a Balanced Life. Your Plan for a Balanced Life. And actually, this is written in conjunction with ConAgra Foods, which is a corporation that really puts out a number of the things we use all the time, things like the Orville Redenbacher's popcorn, and does it include a lot of the Hunt products as well?
Well, their flagship brand is Healthy Choice.
Healthy Choice.
Yeah, but they also are the world's largest processor of tomatoes. Now, are you located in California?
Yes, we are.
Yeah, Hunt's Tomatoes was a California-based company when they bought them. The Hunt brothers, back at the turn of the century, started this company, I think, around Sacramento, and they built it into a huge tomato. You know, California is one of the big tomato-growing places in the world, and so the whole Hunt tomato operation that ConAgra owns is located in California.
Well, yes, their products have been around for a long, long, long time.
Yeah.
All right, fine. Well, anyway, of course, Dr. Rippey works with ConAgra, and certainly they did some analysis. They did a nationwide poll, and they found out that an awful lot of people were concerned that their life wasn't balanced. And so the whole idea is to put together an idea how you balance your life with activity, with your diet, and then something known as this well-being. So I'm going to let him go ahead and pick the story up, and you can go ahead and repeat a little of what you said, because we now have a few people who've just come on board who've not heard your initial opening remark.
Well, the book is called Your Plan for a Balanced Life, and it's based on the premise that over 90% of people in our national survey said that their lives were not in balance, and only 20% of people felt that they could get them back into balance. So we start the whole program, and we have a great website, which I'd encourage your listeners to go to. It's called startmakingchoices.com, and it's a very detailed website. There are some video podcasts of me talking about various kinds of balance. We've got, if you give us what you like to eat, we'll give you recipes. We'll even give you shopping lists. It's pretty interactive. The whole program starts with a simple 15-question questionnaire. And this questionnaire was developed by my research group, but it's based on a tremendous amount of science, and it takes about 5 minutes to take. And there are 5 questions about physical activity and 5 questions about nutrition and 5 questions about this larger category that we call well-being. Based on your answers to those questions, we'll give you a score.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Well, anyway, Dr. Stan, Dr. Rippey is talking about the questionnaire that they give out, and there are 15 questions that's dealing with your activity and your diet, and then, of course, when you get all done, they give you a score. Well, pick the story up there.
Well, the 15-question questionnaire is called the Balanced Life Index, and you get a score from 0 to 1,000. It's not a test where you pass or fail. It's just it's an assessment of where areas are in your life that you're doing well in, and where there are areas where you're not so balanced. And then you tell us what areas you'd like to work on, and then we start interacting with you to say, well, have you thought about this, or what about this program? And we give people specific advice about, in the area of physical activity, for example, if you'd like to get more walking in, there's a structured walking program, both in the book and on the website. If your goal is to improve your nutrition, we give you lots of tips. If you go to the Start Making Choices website, if you tell us what you'd like to accomplish, it's all based on the U.S. government My Pyramid structure, which is the authoritative nutritional structure that we use in science, and it's a really a treasure trove of good information. And we'll even give you recipes or shopping lists. So there's a lot of things there. And then in the area of well-being, we talk about stress and connectedness to others and taking time for yourself, and share some thoughts about how you can improve all of those areas in the well-being portion of Balance. And the goal here is to have people say, gee, with a little more thinking about it, without turning my life upside down, I could have a more balanced life. And by having a more balanced life, I could get more enjoyment, my health could improve. So that's really the basic premise.
All right, fine. Well, now, of course, you go install it into aspartame or MSG, or the, you know, whether they're beneficial for us. Do you get into the importance of raw foods or fruits and vegetables, eating lots of those?
We really don't talk very much about artificial sweeteners, but we do go into the very important concept of how you can get more fruits and vegetables and more whole grains in your diet. The sad truth in our country is that only about 25% of people get the recommended amount of fruits and vegetables on a daily basis. And it's so easy to do, particularly in a state like California, which supplies fruits and vegetables to most of the rest of the nation. So, you know, that there's always something in season, particularly in California. But a lot of people don't take the time to think, gee, how could I be a little bit more conscious of making sure that there's a bowl of fresh fruit out at all times on the kitchen table, so that when I get hungry for my snack, I reach for a piece of fruit rather than a cookie or something like that. And, of course, with all the refrigerated techniques now, having a fresh produce in the refrigerator in season is also something that we give a lot of kind of practical advice about things that you might overlook if you're not thinking about it and if your goal is to improve your nutrition.
All right, fine. Of course, Sydney, what about fats? Do you get at all into what types of fats are best for us? I mean, there seems to be one time we were supposed to eat, certainly margarine was far better than butter. And what's the status of it now? These things seem to keep changing all the time.
Well, all fats are not bad. There are monounsaturated fats, such as olive oil, which we actually think helps lower the bad cholesterol and raise the good cholesterol. It's part of the Mediterranean diet. I think there's pretty compelling evidence now that we should minimize the amount of trans fats in our diet. And margarine was a big source of trans fats. But now there are a lot of margarines that have eliminated the trans fats. So we talk in some detail, both in your Plan for a Balanced Life, the book, and the Start Making Choices website, about how to think about fats and separate the good fats from the bad fats. There, not all fats are bad.
All right, fine. And certainly, then you talk about this idea of wellness. What are you really speaking of here? Are you talking about meditation? Are you talking about getting in touch with ourselves? What are you referring to?
Well, there are a lot of components, and we pulled together what we thought were the most credible things. And the things that we focus attention on are stress reduction, taking time for yourself, getting adequate sleep, connecting to other people. Those are four of the topics. And then just because we think it's so important and we didn't have any other logical place to put them, we also talk about smoking cessation and weight control under the wellness umbrella. So it's not just emotional well-being, but we do include the smoking cessation and weight management because they're such important health considerations. And we didn't think that they fit logically under either nutrition or physical activity.
Well, of course, smoking is really is such a terrible, terrible plague. It has been a terrible plague on our society. And, of course, when I went to medical school, we hardly ever saw a woman with cancer of the lung that was a disease of men because they smoked. But thanks, of course, to the clever propaganda programs of the American Tobacco and other companies, why they were able to convince women that they should smoke. And now, of course, we have this terrible plague of cancer of the lung among our women and, of course, the other cancers that go right along with that and the other cardiovascular problems. And yet, up until recently, why our government has been subsidizing the people who grow the tobacco. I never could quite understand that.
Well, it's a big big industry in our country, and as you point out, it when you get one group of people stopping, then the advertising turns to other people, and we now know that that 3,000 young people below the age of 12 start smoking every day.
What a terrible, terrible tragedy!
And you know, those one of the population groups where smoking is actually on the rise is teenage girls. As you point out, lung cancer. Even when I went to medical school, lung cancer was really considered a men's disease primarily. But now, I think we have about the same number of women dying of lung cancer every year as men.
What year did you get out of medical school?
79.
Okay, fine. Well, I was a little before that. Anyway, I certainly. Do you have any means of helping people to get off of smoking? Because it is such a terrible plague, and it is so difficult to get off.
Well, we talk about it's not a major focus of the book, but we just didn't feel we could write a book about balance and health without at least spending some effort on cigarette smoking. The average person. By far, the majority of people who are able to quit, and many millions of people quit every year, do it on their own. There are some good programs that are available at hospitals, and there are some drugs that nicotine replacements and other kinds of drugs that may be helpful. But most people figure out themselves how to stop. One thing that I think is very important for people to recognize is that it's not easy. Cigarette smoking is an addiction, and the average person needs to try 6 times before they get it.
Well,
so it's not that easy to stop, but the health benefits are so significant that it's worth keeping trying even. And if you ever get out to the point where you have stopped for 6 months, even if you relapse once or twice, the fact that you've gotten out one time for 6 months, it's highly predicted that eventually you're going to stop.
Well, one of the few good things I can say is I never started smoking, so I never had to go through that terrible, terrible problem of trying to get rid of it. But anyway, I think we should, of course, be doing everything we can with our educational program. But if we're really trying to stop our young people from smoking, why, we're doing a terrible job of it. That's all I can say. So anyway, certainly, what sort of response have you gotten from this book? Has it been circulated across the country? Has it done fairly well? Are people concerned about this?
Yes, it's off to a great start. The early sales of the book have been great. It's already in the top 1% of all books published every year. And it's available in all bookstores. If you go into your bookstore, they'll have it. Available on all the online booksellers like Amazon or Barnes & Noble. It's widely available. It's called Your Plan for a Balanced Life. We're very pleased, and we hope that we're doing some good and helping people get more balance in their lives.
Well, now, do you think that it's certainly people would benefit from going to a gym, or do you think they'll get just as much benefit from just getting out and walking?
Well, the average person is... unfortunately, in our country, is sedentary. And so any form of physical activity that is consistent for that person is going to be beneficial. And I'm perfectly comfortable with the idea that people can go to a gym if they want to. But you don't have to go to a gym to be more physically active. And we point that out in the book. We have a structured walking program that you can start at whatever level of fitness you're at right now. And get started there and continue on. And the goal here is to get people out doing something. Something is better than nothing. And so you start based on how fit you are right now and then work your way up to 30 minutes.
All right. Well, of course, now, of course, ConAgra predominantly produces a prepackaged and canned foods. Why were they so interested in this program?
Well, I think they basically wanted to, like many companies, they wanted to reach out to their customers and say, we can be your partner. And so they went out and said, what do you care about? And people said, well, we care about this balance issue. And so they said, well, if we're really going to form partnerships with our customers and create value to for our customers, and by creating value, you create loyalty. That to me was a very strong rationale for them to get involved. Now, at least that's how they described it to me. And you know, they're a big company, but a very ethical company, and they really care about their customers. And so I was delighted to have them as a partner.
Well, I certainly enjoyed their popcorn.
They're over at Redenbacher. Over Redenbacher popcorn, particularly the Air Pops popcorn, is just great, and it's a very healthy snack.
Well, what about the you know, the buttered the flavored popcorn? Is that as healthy for you? Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Well, I was just asking the question whether the butter flavored popcorn, Redenbacher's, is as good as the as the other popcorns, just without all the flavoring on it. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, if you get some of the buttered popcorn, it has more calories, and so the gold standard is the Air Pops popcorn, and there are several different kinds of Orville Redenbacher Air Pops popcorn, which are delicious, and they're also very healthy. You know, a lot of people don't realize that popcorn is also high fiber. So popcorn is a natural product that's high in fiber. So if you're thinking about snacking, popcorn is a very good choice. But you do need to be careful that you do Air Pops popcorn, and don't load up a lot of salt on it. But the popcorn in and of itself is a low-calorie and high-fiber snack, so it's a very good snack.
All right, fine. Well, certainly, we're talking about fruits and vegetables. You talk about the government's food pyramid, but of course, it keeps changing. So that makes me just a little bit skeptical of it. They said a long time ago you ought to be eating predominantly fruits and vegetables, but this seems to have started to change. But right now, they really are stressing fruits and vegetables, and that part of it I certainly applaud. What are the other things that people should be eating? What should they be doing, as far as whole grains? What should they be doing about rice and potatoes and the other sources of carbohydrate or bread, things of that sort?
Well, whole grains are really your best bet, and there are lots of good ways of getting whole grains. You need to read labels, make sure that whole grains are high up, probably the number one thing on the products that you buy. The leading time that we eat whole grains in our diet is breakfast. So look for whole grain cereal. A particular family favorite for me, I have four young children, we love oatmeal. And so we eat a lot of oatmeal. A lot of people don't realize that all oatmeal is whole grain. So you get the whole grain when you get oatmeal. And that's not true of some of the other things like rice and wheat. You have to look carefully because a lot of the processing of rice and wheat removes the outer kernel and makes it not whole grain. So breakfast is a great time. About right now in our country, about half of the, a little bit less than half, about 40% of all the grains we eat in our current breakfast. So one of the good pieces of advice, and we talk about this in my book in some detail, is make sure you get a good breakfast every day and think about the whole grain breakfast cereals, because that's a great way of getting an easy way of getting more whole grains in your diet. And, of course, we also drink fruit juice often, 100% fruit juice, and have fruit at breakfast, too. So it's a great way of meeting your fruit requirements, or getting at least halfway there, simply by eating a high-fiber, low-fat breakfast.
All right, fine. Well, so what should be the major meal, the lunch or the dinner?
Well, in all candor, the time to take in your most calories at breakfast, that's hard for a lot of people to do. But if you think about trying to match the calories that you take in to when you're going to use them, we'd all be better off if we ate more calories at breakfast, started cutting back a little bit at lunch, and cut back even further at dinner. I know that a lot of people find that hard, that's what the nutritional that's what the nutritional guidance should be, to eat more calories at breakfast and less at dinner. Of course, a lot of people eat a lot of calories after dinner, and that's typically not a very good idea, because much after dinner except storing those calories in fat.
Well, this is Dr. Stan and Sydney. Dr. Rippy is saying that we should take most of our calories in the morning for breakfast. We should certainly be getting our whole grains there. This is important, whole grains along with fruit for breakfast, an excellent approach, and then less for lunch, and then probably the smallest meal would be the evening meal. As he says, of course, we want to get the calories when we're going to use them, and certainly the idea then of snacking after dinner in the evening is a terrible idea, because, of course, we're not going to I'll be utilizing them at that time. Well, now, what about milk and things like that? Are they good for us or not?
Well, a lot of people, the simple answer is yes. But a lot of people don't realize that all of the nutritional benefits that you can get out of milk and other dairy products can come with minimal amounts of fat. And once you get used to, in our family, we like 1% fat milk. You can also get skim milk. But if you have whole milk, it has four times as much fat as 1% fat milk, and no more calcium or any of the other good nutrients that come with milk. So we again, it's one of those things that the My Pyramid structure talks about, and we talk about it in your plan for a balanced life. And really want to get the milk. Milk is one of the major sources of calcium in our diet, which is so important at all stages in our lives, and but particularly for older people who start experiencing some bone loss, and particularly postmenopausal women. But it's also, I can tell you, I have four young daughters, and we have milk on the table at every meal because we know it's a very important source of calcium during those bone-building years for young girls.
Well, a caller just had called in and asked and said, when I was growing up, we ate junk food but didn't have the obesity factor we have today. Is it the food or lack of activity on the part of young people and adults that's creating the obesity?
Well, it's unfortunately a combination of both. We're eating a little bit more than about 100 calories on average a day more than we ate 20 years ago, and we're much less active. And so, if you combine eating a little bit more with being much less active, that's a very bad combination for weight gain. We need to, in our mechanized society where we have all kinds of things that can make for a very sedentary existence unless we work at it, we need to be very conscious of trying to get more physical activity. And in an environment where we have way too many calories produced every year by the food manufacturers, and they're tasty and they're advertised with billions of dollars, we need to be careful. And so we do talk about the whole way ideas about managing weight in quite a bit of detail in your plan for a balanced life. But the basic message here is that you can combat weight gain, but you have to be very conscious of the fact that you need to look for nooks and crannies in your life to be more physically active, and you have to be you don't have to diet all the time. But you do have to be conscious of what you're eating. I think that's just a common sense approach, and it's been proven by my research laboratory and many others, and we do talk about it both in your plan for a balanced life and also the Start Making Choices website.
Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. That's 464-8295. If you'd like to talk to Dr. Rippy about what he said about his book, Your Plan for a Balanced Life. Your Plan for a Balanced Life. And a lot of people must be looking for a good plan because, of course, apparently the book is really doing very, very well, you know, as far as the ratings are concerned. Since top 1% of the book so far?
Yeah.
All right, fine. So basically, what else can we do as far as this wellness is concerned? Certainly, what about the part that stress plays? We're all, you know, usually under a tremendous amount of stress one way or another in order to want to be successful in life. So how do we deal with that stress?
Well, that is a very important issue, and it is something that we do talk about a great deal both in the book and on the website. And if you think about ways to manage stress, I think that it's fair to say that fundamentally, all stress reduction programs start with the same concept, and that is to live in the present. A lot of people spend a tremendous amount of time fearing the future or regretting the past. But if we can really find techniques that allow us to enjoy the present and live in the present, that will help a lot with stress and managing stress. And, of course, we do live busy lives. And that's one of the reasons why people feel their lives are out of balance, is they say, gee, I just have too much to do every day. And our view and our goal with this whole program is to say, well, we're not trying to tell you to be less busy. We're just trying to help you structure on your terms the way to get more balance into your life and recognize the stresses and strains and busyness that all of us...
Hold that thought. We'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest is Dr. James Rippey, and of course his book is Your Plan for a Balanced Life. And so we're going to have some guests, people calling in from out across America. So if you're out there and you'd like to talk to Dr. Rippey, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295 if you have a question or you have a comment at all on what we're talking about here. But certainly activity is so vitally important. And this is one of the big problems we have in our society is the sedentary lifestyle. And I tell you, it's the hardest thing in the world just to say, well, I'm going to take, 30 minutes a day and walk or do something. But activity, I think, is something we've learned. I remember when I went to medical school, we never even talked about anything like that. But, of course, I think that we've certainly learned a lot since then as far as general nutrition. Well, we've got Ken calling now from, I assume that's Rochester, New York. Hi, Ken. Are you there?
Yes, I am, Dr. Stan. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. How are you hearing us back in Rochester? Oh, you're probably hearing us on the local radio station there.
On the Sunshine Network, 13:10 a.m.
All right, fine. What can we do
and
for
on
you?
On the Internet. Oh, I had a question for the doctor.
Fine, go ahead.
I wanted to ask his opinion on detoxing for people who have been inactive for a while and just kind of want to clean their liver or their kidneys and their digestive tract. Do you have a specific, there's a lot of folk remedies and a lot of products. Is there something that you yourself recommend people to do, or are you not in favor of that?
I'm not in favor of it. And, I think that... There's a lot of charlatans out there that talk about detoxing, and there are a lot of, as you point out, folk remedies. And I think that really, when we think about those things that are proven to improve your health, they are the simple things that we talk about in my book and on the website. They're things like getting more activity and eating more fresh fruits and vegetables and whole grains and not smoking, and controlling your weight. All of those things have stood the test of time, and there are literally hundreds of, if not thousands, of research articles that support those ideas. But I'm not aware of any proof for any of these so-called detox regimens that there are any health benefits from them.
I've actually taken a couple products before. I'm an athlete, I'm a fighter,
Well, this is Dr. Stan. We had Ken calling in from Rochester. Incidentally, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Ken had inquired about something, detoxification, perhaps for the liver. Dr. Rippey had said that he really didn't think it was valid. I mean, there are a lot of remedies out there, but no scientific evidence that it's beneficial. Ken, did you have a parting thought before we let you go?
I kind of agree with the doctor. I've tried a lot of products before. I think getting enough fiber and supplementing, given the quality of the food today that, they're taking the fiber and good nutrients out of it.
All right.
Irradiation, pasteurization.
All right.
So you got to get supplements like fiber to help your digestion. But Thank you for taking my call.
Okay.
And
nice talking to you, Ken.
Okay, thank you so much, Ken. What about the part that alcohol? What about wine? We're hearing a lot today about resveratrol, which is the active ingredient in red wine. First of all, how do you feel about people drinking? How do you think about them drinking hard liquor? How do you feel about them drinking wine? How do you think about them supplementing their diet with resveratrol?
Well, alcohol is a complex subject. I'm a cardiologist, and I always say to my patients, there is pretty good evidence that moderate alcohol drinking, whether it be wine or hard liquor, and by moderate I mean 1 to 2 glasses of wine a day, the smaller amount for women, but no more than 2 or 1 shot of distilled spirits, if you like that, or 1 to 2 beers a day. That's all, any of those, not together, but any one of those three by themselves, it has been associated in most studies with a decreased risk of heart disease. But I always say to my patients, I'm not telling you that if you don't drink, you should start. And I'm certainly not saying that you should drink more than that. But if you like to have a glass of wine with your dinner, that is probably beneficial to your health. At least that's what most of the studies show.
All right, fine. What about, as a cardiologist, do you recommend that your patients take a couple of aspirin a day, maybe aspirin? Or do you think that is a worthwhile thing to do?
Well, certainly if you're at high risk for heart disease or you have a history of heart disease, there's very good evidence that taking a baby aspirin a day is beneficial. Because part of acute heart problems is that your blood clots in places you don't want it to clot, like your coronary arteries. And so there's pretty good evidence if you have a history of heart disease that, and otherwise not a problem with bleeding from your gastrointestinal tract or anything that would be a contraindication to taking aspirin, that an aspirin a day is a good idea.
All right, fine. Is an aspirin a day that, or should the baby aspirin?
A baby aspirin is adequate. 81 milligram aspirin is adequate.
All right, fine. Well, certainly, you know, as we talk about the nutrition and the things we ought to do and the fruits and vegetables, but what about things like potatoes? What about certainly rice, things like that, good for you or not?
Well, this is an area where moderation is the key and getting balance. Certainly, things like the whole grain rices, not all grain, you know, a lot of the polished rices are not whole grain. That doesn't mean they're bad for you. They're just not as good as the whole grain rice, like a wild rice. I have no problem with potatoes. They're a good starch. And they would not be probably my first choice. And you need to be careful about the preparation, because if you're eating your potatoes as French fries, you're getting a lot of fat as well as the potato. But a baked potato is a perfectly reasonable thing to have with your dinner. It's a vegetable and a starch, but don't substitute it for a salad and green leafy vegetables. And I guess moderation and variety are very important.
Well, now, what about the so many of the processed foods we get today have the high fructose corn syrup added to it? Is that a problem?
Well, there are a tremendous amount of misconceptions about high fructose corn syrup. High fructose corn syrup is basically the same product as sucrose. They're basically the same thing. High fructose corn syrup and sucrose are both what are called disaccharides. Sucrose, which is made from sugarcane or beets, is half glucose and half fructose. High fructose corn syrup is made from corn syrup, and it's about 55% fructose and about 45% glucose. So they're virtually the same thing. But a lot of people see the phrase high fructose corn syrup and they think, oh, that must be something terrible. But in fact, it's no different than table sugar, basically.
All right. Well, what about table sugar? What about sugar? Should we be really limiting our sugar markedly, or should we just go ahead and put things on? Because a little sugar makes things taste a lot better, I know, with my...
Well, we don't let our kids put sugar on fruit. We think fruit's plenty sweet the way it is, and we eat too much refined sugar in our diet, whether it be sucrose or high fructose corn syrup. So added sugars are something that I think we should limit, and we don't limit them enough. And the problem is that they're concentrated calories, and a lot of people don't realize they're also one of the leading causes of tooth decay. So there are a number of reasons to think about limiting, and the My Pyramid guidance does say to limit added sugars, and I basically support and agree with that.
All right, well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or out across here in the central coast of California at 464-8295. That's 464-8295. If you have a question for Dr. Arippi, of course, the author of the book, Your Plan for a Balanced Life. Your Plan for a Balanced Life. And certainly, this is really what we do need, especially in times, as we are moving into today, we're going to need to learn how to handle stress and these other things. Are there any specific techniques that you use and that you recommend for handling stress?
Well, by far the most, a lot of people don't realize this, but by far the most common way and one of the highly effective ways of managing stress is exercise. Exercise is a very powerful stress reducer. I travel about 60% of the time, and I try to exercise every day, even when I'm traveling. I know it's good for my heart, but what I know on a day-to-day basis is that it's very good for stress reduction. So getting out and exercising is one of the very, very powerful ways of getting stress reduction. Other things that have been shown to lower stress are meditation, biofeedback, just getting away from stressful situations, what people call time out. Doing something you enjoy, if you like reading or listening to classical music, but really making an effort to say, I'm under stress and I've got to get away from it, is important. But don't forget exercise, because exercise is one of the powerful stress reducers.
And I certainly agree with you. I know that if I get out and exercise, I certainly lose all the stress that I'm having.
Yeah.
Well, but certainly we've talked about fruits, we've talked about vegetables. What about the difference between cooking our vegetables and eating them raw? What should we be doing? Some people say, well, you ought to be going ahead and juicing all these things. I mean, make this, you use your juicer and juice your fruits and juice your vegetables, and that's much healthier. Do you think there's any truth to that or not?
No, I really don't. Fruit juice is 100%. You got to make sure that you're getting, if you're buying it, make sure you're getting 100% fruit juice. There are a lot of things that are diluted fruit juice. But 100% fruit juice is considered a fruit, and I think it counts as a fruit, and I think you can certainly have it as one of the fruits that you get on a regular basis. The big problem, as I see it, with juicing all your fruits and vegetables is you lose a lot of the fiber. A fruit juice can be an important component of an overall healthy approach, but I wouldn't recommend that people do all of their fruits and vegetables through the juicer.
Well, now, what about taking supplementary vitamins and minerals and other things of that sort? Is there a place for that? Do we need them? What about vitamin D? Most of us aren't out in the sunlight very much, so do we really need vitamin supplements?
I think the medical literature is pretty good about taking a multivitamin every day. To my patients, I recommend that they take a multivitamin, and most of the big drugstore chains have their own in-house multivitamins, so I think there's a good literature on that. But taking large doses of supplements, whether they be vitamins or anything else, most of the medical literature on that has not been very positive. It seems that you need to get the actual fruits or vegetables themselves to get all of the benefits. There's some synergy between the interactions between the multiple things that you find in fruits and vegetables. So I do think that taking a multivitamin is a good idea, And usually recommend to my patients that they just find one from their local drugstore that seems to contain lots of different vitamins and call it a day.
What about the things like iron supplements or calcium supplements? Is this something that's worthwhile?
I don't think there's much reason for people to be taking iron supplements unless they are anemic, unless their blood counts are low. Calcium supplements is another story. Most of us do not get enough calcium in our diets, and particularly postmenopausal women and men over the age of 65, we typically recommend that they take supplemental calcium because those are the individuals who get into trouble with osteoporosis and bone fractures, and so supplemental calcium is typically a good idea. And there, my recommendation is talk to your pharmacist. There are a number of different calcium supplements available, and pharmacists usually are pretty good at telling you which one would be best for you.
Well, now, as a cardiologist, you know, I'm sure you're well aware of the importance of magnesium. Sydney, what about the magnesium? Do we get enough magnesium and selenium in our diet? Should those things be supplemented at all?
Well, in most multivitamins, you would get some of that.
I know, but would we get enough? That's the question.
I typically would not recommend that somebody take supplemental selenium or magnesium over and above a good, balanced diet and a multivitamin.
All right, fine. So basically, what advice then do you give to the average individual? You talk about activity, you talk about diet, you talk about well-being, and certainly all of these things are so vitally important, and certainly eating right, and especially eating. I think the idea of fruits and vegetables is really such an important thing. The lettuce, the green leafy vegetables, the salads that we should be getting, and sometimes we don't get. Fortunately, my wife is fastidious about this, and so we have salads almost every night. But how do you think the people are really beginning to change their eating approaches, their activity approaches, their approach to well-being? Is this having impact on the lives of some people?
Well, I think most people know what they, at least in general terms, what they should be doing. But a lot of people experience the frustrating situation of finding that in our busy lives, it's difficult for them to accomplish what they know they should be doing. And that's what our survey showed, basically, is that people said, we need some help trying to fit it all in. And so that's what we really tried to do with both your Plan for a Balanced Life and the Start Making Choices website. Is to say, what would you like to work on? You don't have to work on everything at the same time, but of all the things, once you've taken the Balanced Life Index and you've seen where there are some areas where you're strong and some areas where you're not so strong, where would you like to start? And then we'll meet you halfway, and if it's physical activity, we'll give you some ideas about a walk-in program. If it's nutrition, even if weight loss is another thing that a lot of people are working on, and if that's your goal, this isn't fundamentally a weight loss program, but if your goal is to lose some weight, if you go to the website and say, my goal is to lose some weight, we will give you a well-balanced plan that will help you lose weight by cutting down about 500 calories a day, which is what most of the good literature on that suggests is the right way to lose weight. So I think really, I'd like to say that the message is getting through. I think at least the part of the message that's getting through is that people know what they should be doing in general terms. I think the biggest issue is how do we fit it into our busy lives, and that's what we're trying to do with this whole program, is to help people fit it into their busy lives.
And I think that's one of the biggest problems is because we're all so busy being busy, you know, we really don't have the time for it, and just, certainly if you have a wife, as I do, who's a very nutrition conscious and certainly reads all the labels on all the things that she brings home, and we're very, very careful about what we do have and trying as much as we can, because to stick to fruits and vegetables. And because what about the importance of meat in the diet? Should we be eating meat on a regular basis? Would we be better cutting back on our meat consumption?
Well, meat is a good source of, if you trim the visible fat, and on chicken you take the skin off of it, you can get all the high-quality protein and minimize the amount of excess fat. A lot of people don't realize that fish is one of the great sources of high-level, high-quality protein, and that there, again, you need to be careful about preparation. When we have fish, which we do two or three times a week. We make sure we grill it. Don't fry it. Don't turn it into a high-fat meal. But I'm not against meat, as long as you're careful to trim excess fat from the meat. You can get a lot of high-quality iron and protein from red meat.
Well, now, what about, of course, say, frying your fish in olive oil, virgin olive oil? Is this a good idea?
Well, olive oil, if you're going to use oils, that's not a bad idea. Of course, all oils, even olive oil, are loaded with calories. So you can very quickly turn something that is a good calorie-controlled meal into something that has a lot of calories in it by sautéing it. Olive oil is not the... It's a monounsaturated fat, but it does. But don't forget that it has about twice as many calories per unit weight as does protein or carbohydrate. So you need to be careful, particularly if you're trying to lose weight, about how much even a good oil like olive oil you consume.
Well, now what about, we hear a lot of talk today about the omega-3 fats and the importance of the omega-3 fats, the danger of the omega-6 fats. Is there any truth to that?
Well, the omega-3s are the long chain of fats that are often found in fish, and it's thought that the omega-3s are part of why eating one or two fish meals a week is actually very beneficial in terms of lowering your risk of heart disease. So that's something where I think either taking them, again, if you take them as a supplement, be careful because they're loaded with calories. But if you eat the deep sea fish, the salmons and things like that, that's an excellent source both of high quality protein and also omega-3.
All right, fine. Certainly our guest is Dr. James Rippey. His book, Your Plan for a Balanced Life. And we'll be back in just a moment to wrap up the program here at Radio Liberty. Well, Dr. Rippey, it's been an enjoyable hour. Do you have a parting thought? We've got about 3 minutes to wrap up the program. What advice would you have for our patients?
Well, I think that probably, what our whole emphasis with this new program, my book, Your Plan for a Balanced Life, and its companion website, startmakingchoices.com, is a very simple premise. And that is that most of us spend a lot of time trying to get our lives in balance, and a lot of us have a great deal of difficulty given how busy most of us are. And so what we try to do with this whole program is to say, what would you like to work on? Let us give you some advice. Let us give you a simple tool, this Balanced Life Index, to help you think about those areas where you either are in very good balance or you're not in good balance. And then we'll give you some ideas and practical suggestions about how to get more balance in your life. And at the end of the day, I think that's what most people are looking for, is they're looking to try to fit all the things that we all try to fit into our lives and yet do the best for their health and their emotional well-being. And I think at the end of the day, that's what balance is all about.
Well, I certainly agree with you, and I think that what we need is a balanced life, and I think that we need that activity. I think we need the diet, and then I think we need the inner peace that allows us just to keep right on going in times where there is tremendous, tremendous stress in our lives. All right, well, I certainly thank you so very much for being with us, and I appreciate your spending the time with us.
Well, it was a pleasure talking to you, and I hope that we've help people think a little bit more about how to get more balance in their body.
And once again, where can they get the book?
The book is available at all bookstores. It's called Your Plan for a Balanced Life, and the companion website is startmakingchoices.com.
All right. Thank you so very much.
Okay, nice talking
right,
to you.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
Bye-bye. Okay, fine. That was Dr. James Rippey, and certainly I wanted you to hear what he had to say. He's a Harvard-trained cardiologist. He's obviously very successful in what he does. He runs a laboratory for this. There'd be things that we really should think about. That is milk. Should adults be taking milk? Well, I suggest you go up on the Internet and you begin looking. You might even go to Jeffrey Smith's website on milk. Go to newsreviews.com and pull down the recent article that Jeffrey Smith had written on the danger of milk, because it's great for children, it's great for, but once you get to, you're past 5 or 6 years of age, why, Well, there's some real problems with milk, and I think we should all begin thinking about it. Not that I don't have my cheese and cottage cheese, but I certainly have cut back dramatically on my drinking milk. And we'll be back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I hope you enjoyed our program. Of course, Dr. Rippey is coming from the conventional medical point of view. And of course, one thing I'd like to suggest, if certainly one of the most important books we offer here, is Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life by Dr. Russell Blaylock, who's a personal friend, who incidentally will be the speaker at our conference on the 26th of October. I want you to put that time aside. It's going to be a great conference. We're going to have Joanna Michelson, who is used to be a medium, and she'll be here speaking as well. But Russell Blaylock will be here. His book, Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life, I think is probably the best book on health that I know, and certainly one of our best sellers here at Radio Liberty. He has two other books. One is, for cancer patients, ideas for cancer patients, if you ask for that, the natural treatments for cancer patients, I think is the title of it, but Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life is certainly one of my favorite books and something my wife goes to very, very frequently. The other book is Natural Strategies for Cancer Patients, and certainly we know people who actually use this treatment when they went in for the chemotherapy or radiation. And the oncologists, the cancer doctors, couldn't understand why they didn't get ill like everybody else is on chemotherapy. And as Russell says, just don't tell your oncologist what you're doing, because of course he's going to poo-poo it, and yet it works. Now, of course, Dr. Blaylock has also written the book, Excitotoxins, The Taste That Kills. And of course, we want to recommend that you understand how dangerous MSG and aspartame are. We want you to understand that the mercury that, of course, is excessive amounts of fish, certain specific types of fish can get you into trouble, and Dr. Blaylock's got a great talk on that, which fish you should avoid and which fish are not going to get you into any problems. It's usually the larger fish that do contain the very, very high doses of mercury. And then, of course, certainly the dangers of aspartame and MSG in our diet. One reason we, of course, have the pathological obesity is because MSG and aspartame produce pathological obesity. They knew that before they were ever released on the public, and you need to understand that, and you need to know how to identify them, because they sneak them into the food under the name of naturalized protein or artificial flavoring or things of this sort. And these are usually MSG or aspartame drugs, which are excitotoxins, which of course destroy the central nervous system and produce all sorts of complications. The most notable, of course, of which is pathological obesity, but they produce infertility and they produce cancer, and they're known to do this. And of course, we can thank Donald Rumsfeld when he was, of course, president of J.D. Searles for pushing this onto the unsuspecting American public. Hydrolyzed, my wife is just putting up some of the other names for the MSG products, and you need to know them all, and it's well covered in Russell's book. We also have a four-tape set, Life-Saving Secrets, some of my other interviews with Dr. Russell Blaylock, which I think are certainly something that you should get and you should listen to. He spends full time researching this. He was a retired neurosurgeon. And what was he going to do with his life? Well, he reads all the medical literature. And he is certainly one of the best recognized experts we know, and we really feel very flattered that he'll come onto our programs and help us. And of course, there's so many things that are going on today that you need to know about your diet. And one thing is, you do not need excess calcium as you get older. In fact, one reason people have heart attacks and strokes is because they have too much calcium in their system. You've got lots of calcium in your bones. What you need is something to put that calcium back in the bones, and there are certain products that will actually do that are not hormonal but mimic the hormones, and you can certainly go to the Bill Sardi's website, knowledgeofhealth.com. That's knowledgeofhealth.com. Get the information. Our number here is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. And then please pray for Radio Liberty.
You're listening to the Global Star Radio Network, located at Telstar 5 KU band, frequency 11836, symbol rate 20770. Thank you for listening.